It's been a few years ago, April the 14th of 2000, as a matter of fact, that a man by the name of Bruce Wilkinson took a small prayer from the book of Proverbs, or excuse me, the book of 1 Chronicles, and wrote a book about it. You probably have heard of the title of the book. The book is simply entitled The Prayer of Jabez. And it takes only two verses out of all of the book of Chronicles. And he writes a short book, 96 pages in all, about that one little prayer. If you've been reading through the Bible, then you are either on the book of 1 Chronicles or have already read it. But you know that this little prayer is mentioned in just a list of names. It's tucked away. And it's that prayer that I want us to focus upon tonight, because a lot of 1 Chronicles deals with things we've already looked at in 1 and 2 Samuel and in 1 and 2 Kings. We find a list of names all the way up through the end of chapter 9, and then we have one chapter that deals with Saul's demise, and the rest of the book focuses upon David. David's victories, David's defeats, David's focus upon collecting the things necessary to build the temple, David's charge to Solomon there in the people and Solomon there in chapter 28, and finally David's death in chapter 29. But I want you to turn with me tonight, if you will, to the fourth chapter of 1 Chronicles, because that is where we will spend our time. And the only two places, or there are only two verses that we're going to be focusing upon in this chapter, because it is the prayer of Jabez. And here is what we read. It says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, Because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested." When you first look at the context, this prayer is located in the midst of a dry list of names. You start at the very beginning and it starts talking about the sons of Judah and lists them for us. The sons of Judah were Perez and Hezron and Carmi and Hur and Shobai. And as you work your way down, you come down to verse 6, Narabor to Ahuzam, Hefer, Temani, Haha, Shatari. These were the sons of Narah. The sons of Helah were Zereth, Izar, Ethan, and you just go on and on. And then suddenly you come to this one name, Jabez. And yet, there are no comments. Nothing that we're really told about any of these names. And yet, when you get to this one name, suddenly it is in this oblivion of names, it is a name that stands out because of something that is connected with it. It is a prayer. The man Jabez, to be honest with you, is someone that we really know very little about. We know his name. And his name is a name that means pain or sorrow. It is a name that his mother gave to him. It is a name that later was given to a village named after him that became the village of so many of the scribes. But his mother, as she named him for the sorrow that she experienced in giving birth to him. Now, do you find it interesting that a mother would name her son pain or sorrow? We normally think about the names that we give to our children, don't we? We normally, and some of the names that are given to children nowadays, I know some of you would say, well, there's some strange names that are being given to children now, but here is a name that is given and probably was given shortly after she gave birth to this child. And I think she does something that is natural for so many of us. How many of us have a tendency to remember our sorrows more than we remember our mercies? How many of us are quicker to remember our defeats than we are to remember our victories? How many of us are quicker to remember our frustrations more than our successes? Here's a woman that is remembering her sorrow. Why? I don't know. I don't know why she remembers the pain. It's possible that what she is seeking to do is to transfer her own fears to her son. And if that's the case, then that's unfulfilled, because as we are going to read here in just a moment, or as we see, that isn't exactly what happened. Some seek to perpetuate their sorrow through someone else, but there are others that tend to forget the pain of childbirth and to move on and remember the joy. And this name is a name that speaks of birth pain. It is a name that doesn't tell us anything about the circumstances into which Jabez is born. And yet, pain was not an original part of the world that God made. Pain was brought in by sin, introduced because of Adam and Eve's sin there in the garden. But there's another statement that, if you look here in verse 9, is made about Jabez. It just says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. That word honorable is literally a word that means a man of weight. And the weight is due to the character of the individual. But we're not even told about his brethren or his brothers. We know none of their names. We don't know who his parents were. We don't know the age, really, in which he lived. We don't know any of the circumstances surrounding the life of this man or anything about him. What we do know is one thing. Jabez is a man of prayer. And one of his prayers is given to us in earnest. We see his desire. We are given an insight into the thoughts that he is thinking. And it's remarkable here that of all the prayers that are prayed and down through history that are unrecorded, here is a prayer that God seeks to remember, and he wants us to remember and to take note of. There are some people in Scripture that we only know them by their prayers. And Jabez is one of those. If you'll note the prayer, there are four things, four requests that he makes of God. He begins here, as we find it in verse 10, he calls on the God of Israel. The word God is the Hebrew Elohim. And he had to have called on God because he believed that God was alive. You don't call on someone that you don't believe exists. You call upon someone that you believe can do something for you. So there is a faith that is at work here. There is something that is moving him, that is causing him to reach out to the God in whom he believes. You know, there are some that believe that a curse can be offset by some magical application. In Genesis 35, we find another woman who gives birth to a child. There in verse 18, it is Jacob's wife, Rachel. She gives birth to her youngest son, and she dies in the process after giving birth to this child, and she names him Ben-Ami, which literally means son of my sorrow. But Jacob changes the name because he doesn't want to remember his wife's sorrow or his wife's death. He wants to remember something else. And so he renames him and he calls him Benjamin, which is a name that means son of my right hand. I think one of the reasons that God has put this prayer in here is because he wants us to come before him in prayer. He wants us to be people of prayer. And he wants us to realize that we are totally dependent upon Him for even the smallest things in life. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is in a prison. He has written to a congregation that he dearly loves. And there in verse 6, he makes a statement. He says, "Be anxious for nothing." But now notice this next phrase, "but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." In everything. Do you pray about everything? I mean, literally, do you pray about everything? I don't. I wish I need to do better at that. But do you pray, "Lord, give me a safe drive to work this morning. Watch over my family while I'm away from them. Take care of my kids while they're at school. Help me to be faithful in the way that I respond to my neighbor today. Guide me so that I might be a faithful influence for the people that I encounter at work today." Everything. Jabez seeks a providential blessing, a blessing from God. And he calls upon the God of Israel. It is the God of his fathers. It's the covenant God that Israel had been taught would be with them and would respond to their prayers and answer those prayers. And so, as I said, he asked for four things. Here's the first thing he says. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." You know, whenever we read that, "Oh, that you would do this or that," that seems to indicate an earnestness, does it not? Please do this. Please respond. I want to ask you another question. Are you a person who, when you pray, will not accept denial in your prayers? By that I mean, are you persistent? Because remember, that's what Jesus taught us to be, that we are to be persistent and never give up. He told a story about a woman that wanted some relief from those who were pressing upon her, and she appeals to a judge, and she is persistent in her prayers. And the thing that he says is, this is the way we should pray to God. Not only that, what we find, if you'll go back to Genesis chapter 32, there in verse 26, Jacob again is by the Jabbok River, or really it's a wadi that flows into the Jordan. And he sent his family on a cross, and he spent the night on the other side, and he wrestles with a man all night long. Eventually finds out it's an angel. And the next morning, when the angel says, "Let me go," he says, "I will not unless you bless me." Have you ever prayed to God and said, "I'm going to wear your door out. I'm going to keep coming to you over and over and over again because this is something that I seek from you"? Spiritual blessings are the best blessings we can ask for, folks. In Psalm 81, verse 10, we find the psalmist writing, "I, the Lord, am your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." That's God's promise. Or in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, passage that you're familiar with, "Without faith it is impossible to believe or to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." God rewards you for seeking Him. Or Isaiah 45, verse 22, where God says to the prophet Isaiah, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Folks, God wants to bless you. And I believe that because you are His creation. You are the reason he sent his son to die upon the face of this earth. And if he doesn't want to bless you in your life, then why has he expended so much energy in trying to draw you back to himself? And so Jabez's prayer is a prayer that we need to pray. And can we pray this kind of prayer? Oh, that you would bless me indeed. And then there's the second request that he makes. Enlarge my border. Or as the King James translates it, enlarge my coast. We could also say my wetlands. He wanted more earthly blessings. He wanted to prosper. He wanted to be successful. You know, I think we are our own enemies when we do not ask for great things from God. And I say that because, and I put it in my bulletin article this last week, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Paul writes there, and again, from a prison cell, he says, "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly," and get this last part, "beyond all that we ask or think." Have you ever stopped to contemplate what Paul is saying there? He's saying that God is able to do more than you can imagine. God is able to do beyond what you can ever begin to ask. God is able to provide beyond what you are able to think. So who limits God? We do. We limit God because we don't ask. And because we don't think. And because we don't stop to say, what is there that I haven't asked you to do? Jabez wanted a great blessing. He dreamed big. Enlarge my borders. And folks, someone has said that piety does not crush ambition. Just because a person is pious doesn't mean they cannot desire more. Jesus prayed about bread and debts. What more can we do? What more can this church do? Are we willing to ask God, pray to enlarge our border? Do we pray, fill this building, overflow it, give us every soul in this community, open the doors of hearts and souls to be receptive to your word, but even more, give that I may give. You promised to pour out the storehouse of heaven, O God. Do that so that I can give back to you even more than I'm able to do now. Are we afraid to ask? And then there's the third part. He says, that your hand might be with me. What I understand him to be saying there is, I want to be able to go on and do so without fear. I want to know that your right hand is guiding me, that you're caring for me. In Psalm 127, verse 1, the psalmist writes, "Unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." It is God who watches over us. It is God who protects us. It is God who gives to us. It is God who oversees His church. It is God who guides the work that we are engaged in. It is God who protects us. And if we go through life and we ignore that fact, we are the ones who have lost. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 7, we find this statement being made about Judah. "And this concerning or regarding Judah, so he said, Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. With his hands he contended for them, and may you be a help against his adversaries." Help me to stand firm. Help me to walk day to day in a way that pleases you. Protect me and my family so that we may faithfully serve you. Do not let your enemies prevent us from doing your will. Do you think God wants His church to succeed? Do you think God wants you to do well in life? And I'm not preaching a health, wealth gospel here, so please don't misunderstand this lesson. But I believe that God cares about His people. And you are His people. And because you are His people, He wants to do for you. Otherwise, why do we bother to pray if we don't believe these things? Jabez prayed. And he asked God to be with him. And when God is with us, our suffering isn't as bad, because we don't walk alone through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't carry our burdens alone. That's why Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And He promised that His yoke is lighter than the one we're trying to carry right now. And then that last part of this prayer, that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. The English Standard Version says that it may not bring me pain. In Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist writes, "Your word have I treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you." I understand Jabez to say, "Keep me from sin and trouble in my life. I don't want evil to win out." And you know, I think the same is true of all of us here tonight. When all is said and done, we don't want evil to win out in our lives. We don't want Satan to have the final victory. And really, we don't want Satan to have any victory in our lives. But there will be some victories he has, because God sets a hedge about us, and there are some things that God does allow him to do, because our testing is to make us stronger, to cause us to grow. But Jabez is praying that God would keep him and prevent him from having to suffer more than he should. And I love the last part of verse 10. It is what we find being said in response to the prayer. The narrator of this book simply writes, "And God granted him what he requested." Aren't those beautiful words? God granted him. He whose name meant sorrow was made glad. And some of those events in our lives which first seem to bring sorrow can ultimately result in great blessing. The book of Job indicates that to us. Job lost everything in the beginning of the book. He lost all of his sons, all of his daughters, all of his flocks, herds, everything he owned. Even found himself scraping the boils off of his skin with a piece of broken pottery. He even had a wife that said to him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And there's a very beautiful passage at the end of the book in chapter 42, there in the first part of verse 12, where the statement is made that the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning. And from there it just begins to list all of the things that God gave back to Job and blessed him with. And the last thing is he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and it said that those 3 daughters were the most beautiful daughters in all of the land. And he went on to see grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He went through sorrow. He went through very difficult times. But out of all of that, God brought great blessing. Do you believe that God can do that in your own life? That out of your struggles and out of your sorrows and out of your difficulties, God can bring you great blessing also? Do you believe that God can grant what you request? Or are you afraid to even ask because He will say no? You know, it literally says that God caused it to come. And I believe it thrilled God to hear His servant pray. Jesus, as Mark records Him in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, said this, He says, therefore, I say to you, all things that you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. He says, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted. How do we pray our prayers? Do we pray expecting a disappointing answer? Do we pray expecting a no? Do we pray saying, oh well, at least I prayed? Is it kind of the last thing on our list after we've gone through everything else? Oh, need to pray. I think that it is very interesting that heaven often disappoints human calculations. Man calculates all of the things that can't work out, and God shows us all of the possibilities of what can happen. And Scripture is filled to overflowing of time after time after time that God works in ways that are contrary to what man believes could happen. And it says, Jesus said to his disciples, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. There's no hesitancy, no withholding on God's part. So with Jabez, what you find is that whatever touched his life, he was willing to take it to God. And his prayer was a prayer of not only inward, but also outward desires. He prayed for blessing, he prayed for prosperity, he prayed for strength, he prayed for safety, he prayed for purity. And folks, I think probably the best way to characterize all of this is what we find John saying in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. He speaks about a confidence that we have. And here's the way he phrases it. He says, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we've asked from Him. And so tonight I'm asking you, what is your prayer life like? Are you willing to launch out on faith and to ask God for more than you can ask or even think or comprehend? Have you ever said, Lord, You know what I need. Please provide. And always saying, if it's according to Your will, it never hurts to ask. And if it's according to His will, He'll grant it. But He may also even give you more than you ever thought. He wants to bless your life. I believe that. If you're a Christian striving to live for Him, I believe He wants to bless your life. And I believe that if we are a church striving to do His will and honor Him, He wants to bless this church. And so if that's the case, if God is willing and God desires to, what is holding us back? I think the answer comes down to us, folks. It's not God. God doesn't want to see you fail. God doesn't want to see you not make it to heaven. God doesn't want to see you go through life and be totally miserable. That's not His desire for you. Otherwise, Paul would not have written, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And Jesus wouldn't have said, in this world you have much tribulation, but be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. And talk about His joy being made full in us. And talk about an abundant life. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants His people to do well. He wants His people to be faithful. He wants His people to serve Him. So what are you praying for? How are you serving the God who loves you and sent His Son to die for you? In this room tonight, are you a person who has yet to obey that simple gospel of a Savior, Son of God, who came to this earth and died for your sins to to redeem your soul and to bring you back to God? Have you turned away from sin, repenting of it, and confessed that name as Lord and Savior in your life? Have you been buried with Him to have those sins washed away? We don't just sing a song just to say it's the end of service. We sing because we want you to come, even as we have, and give your life to Him. I ask you, as we pray for you, do you need to respond to His invitation? And if so, will you come as together we stand and sing?